It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Like Ernie says, we are not afraid, but we are a little concerned here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and the Revolution Continues. Me, Jet Lacy. We're going to go to our Randy in California. What's on your mind, Randy? How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. You know, there's one little problem with Roe versus Wade. They use the 14th Amendment, meaning any person born or naturalized, meaning you don't have no rights until you're born in this country. But the 14th Amendment was, and I have a case law on this too, Van Valkenburg versus Brown. The 14th Amendment was created for the slaves or the descendant of slaves of African blood. It doesn't apply to any white person.
So are you saying that you don't think that people have natural rights if they weren't born here in the United States?
No, the 14th Amendment was created for the slaves or descendant of slaves of African blood. And then Roe versus Wade, that's the only thing that they quote as saying their authority for Roe versus Wade.
That's really interesting. I hadn't heard that angle before. I have to look into it.
Yeah, it's Von Valkenburg versus Brown, the court case from 1872, and it says quite clearly the purpose of the 14th Amendment was to confirm a status of citizenship on slaves or descendants of slaves of African blood.
Huh. That's pretty interesting.
That's where U.S. citizenship was created, because before the 14th Amendment, you were a citizen of the state. So if you were born in California, then you're a Californian, or a Floridian, or Ohioan.
Oh, that's really interesting, because you know, that sort of, I guess, would covertly transfer a lot of power to the federal government.
Power that they don't have, and you know, under the 10th Amendment.
Absolutely.
But if you go to www.state-citizen.org, you can get a real good education on citizenship in this country.
I would definitely.
A lot of stuff on the 14th Amendment on that website.
Well, thank you so much for the call. Anything else you want to add, brother?
No, just don't go out the air. Keep informing people. That's all we can do right now.
That's all we can do. This is all about waking people up.
Exactly.
You know, thank you so much, Randy. Sharon, I'm going to get to you in the next segment because we only got a couple of minutes. But I'll tell you what, right now, I've had a rough week, and I don't share a lot of things about myself, but my own wife, you know, this is the things that people that fight for freedom have to endure. It's the ridicule and the having people turn their backs on you that is so devastating. But if you know the truth, you have to keep pressing on no matter what, regardless of what anyone says. You know, my own wife said she didn't really respect what I did just this past week. And you know how much that hurt me, how much it hurts my feelings. But you know what? I'm still here. Because as part of being a man is you have to stand, or an individual, you know, and I know those lines are blurred, and I like a lot of things about the equality in this country, but to stand up for what you believe in is everything, and I hope someday my wife will respect me that I did the right thing. When we come back on Declare Your Independence, Ernest Hancock, we're going to talk to Sharon in California, and then we're going to keep talking about all kinds of different stuff here with Drew Phillips on the board. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Well, I'm not Ernest Hancock, but this is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. Thank you for waiting, Sharon in California. Are you there with me? Hello? Sharon? Okay, I guess we don't have... Hello, Sharon. Are you with
me?
Okay.
I'm here.
Hey, what's going on? What's on your mind today? Thank you for calling into the show.
Well, thanks for being a good patriot. You know, I have great respect for everybody at RBN and all of our brothers and sisters who are awake, who are trying very hard to wake up the sleeping public. And I, like you, have had a lot of sand kicked in my face. I've been called names, everything you can imagine, all in the name of truth, just trying to wake people up and tell the truth. And my mother once told me when I was very young, she said, "You're the most honest person I know." And, you know, I think back of that, and, you know, I think she's right. And all I wanted was the truth and for others to see it. And for your wife to not support you made me very sad. I'm very, very, very fortunate that my husband is awake, and we work together to try to wake others up. And talking about having sand kicked in your face when you're trying to tell the truth to others who don't believe it, or who are driven by fear, or who just are want to keep their head in the sand because it's safer that way. I try to tell everybody I know about the Restore America plan because I am involved in it, and it's not some ragtag patriot organization. Actually, it's worldwide now. It's being done quietly, and it's being done peacefully behind the scenes. So I would advise everybody to learn about this, who is awake and who is very concerned about our country and wants to take this country back. So please, please go to www.restoreamericaplan.net.
Is that, that's one of the...
Restoreamericaplan.net, and you can read all about it, and you can even join in conference calls that are open to the public that will educate you about this. But it is happening right now, and we'll start to see the results of their hard work, the men behind the scenes, the brave men who are literally risking their lives to make this happen.
Who are the people that started this? Is it just a grassroots organization? Is it?
Well, you know, I don't know all the names of the men and women who are behind it. I only know some names. I know that Sam Kennedy had started it, and Tom Schultz and Regan Duane and Tim Turner. But it's not just them. There's many, many, many people who are working with them, patriots, good people that want to bring back the de jure institutions of government. The Constitution is a tool to protect the people against government, and a lot of people who are behind the Tea Parties don't understand that the United States is a corporation, and the corporation is just a de facto government. They're just acting as a government, and the corporation cannot be fixed. We have to return to the de jure, which means lawful institutions of government, and that's what these men have done. And it is happening right now, so I urge you to do some research, because everybody out there listening, please do not be driven by ignorance. You must do your research to learn about the Restore America plan, to understand it is legitimate, it is happening, and it is our remedy. And there are 50 in every state, which will be called republics, are seated grand juries. So we have over 1,300 brave men and women who have stuck their necks out and we'll try to avoid arrest.
Has there been any response, or do you...
Oh, there's been a tremendous response. Just millions of hits on the website. I think they have the support of 70 nations right now who want to do business with the du jour government, and this will be rolled out very soon. But you'll never hear about it from the media, of course, because we all know they're liars and Zionist liars. But they're not. The media are very aware of this, and they know it is a for sure thing. But they will never talk about it, because why would they promote something that's true? But it is happening, I assure you.
Well, thank you so much for that information, Sharon. I will look into it, and maybe we'll have a show on it if it's something that I think it's worthwhile.
It is. It is our remedy. It is happening, and it is for the benefit of every American. So, again, that's RestoreAmericaPlan.net. And the other one is AmericanDreamPreservation.com. AmericanDreamPreservation.com. Go there, read the declaration, and sign up to support it.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Sharon. I appreciate that. Have a great day.
Thank you, Jet.
You know, that kind of what she was talking about segues into another little thing that I want to talk about. And yes, there has been some controversy about this letter as it was. And this is there's a letter written by a guy named Albert Pike. He is a Freemason, he's a Confederate military officer, and he also created a little group called the Ku Klux Klan. But he was also part of the Roundtable Group, which was the original non-governmental organization in Britain that spawned our Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commissions and all these other things. And he was also one of the highest level Freemasons that there was. And so this guy, and of course, you know, Pike is the only Confederate military officer or figure to be honored with a statue out in Washington, D.C., in Judiciary Square. And he wrote a letter to Pike's letter to Mazzini. And it said, "It is a commonly believed fallacy that for a short time, the Pike letter to Mazzini was on display at the British Museum of Library in London. But they said it isn't. But it says, it appears that Carr learned about this letter from a Cardinal Caro E. Rodriguez of Santiago, Chile, who wrote The Mystery of Freemason Unveiled. To date, no conclusive proof exists to show this letter was ever written. Nevertheless, the letter is widely quoted and the topic of much discussion. And what Pike talks about is three world wars to bring about the wholesale one world government changes. And that, and you got to understand, this gentleman, this is August of 1871, which was a good 30 years. 30 some years before World War One, and he talks about three world wars to bring about a one world government and to bring about this. He's basically, when you're a high level Freemason, that means you're a Luciferian. Lucifer means the light bringer, and they want to destroy everything that humanity has built in order to bring about the changes that they want. And we are in the final stages of this, so we need to understand that, you know, you can take this for what it is. I don't have any proof on it. All I can tell you is he wrote, this was written way ahead of time. And so he said, the First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the power of the czars in Russia and of making that country a fortress of atheistic communism. Divergences caused by the agents of the Illuminati between the British and Germanic empires will be used to foment this war. At the end of the war, communism will be built and used in order to destroy the other governments in order to weaken the religions. Students of history will recognize that the political alliances of England on one side and Germany on the other, forged between 1871 and 1898 by Otto von Bismarck, the co-conspirator of Albert Pike, were instrumental in bringing about the First World War. He goes on to say, The Second World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences between the fascists and the political Zionists. This war must be brought about so that Nazism is destroyed and that the political Zionism must be strong enough to institute a sovereign state of Israel in Palestine. During the Second World War, international communism must become strong enough in order to balance Christendom, which would then be restrained and held in check until the time when we would need it for the final social cataclysm. And there's a little commentary. After the Second World War, communism was made strong enough to begin taking over weaker governments. In 1945, the Potsdam Conference between Truman, Churchill, and Stalin, a large portion of Europe was simply handed over to Russia, and on the other side of the world, the aftermath of the war with Japan helped to sweep the tide of communism into China. You know, readers who argue that terms Nazism and Zionism were not known in 1871 should remember that the Illuminati invented both of these movements. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and The Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy, we're going to finish talking about this, the final chapter. So we'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Phooey, oh, he's quicker than the human eye. Oh, tinky bow, tinky down, diddly dong, diddly bow, bow, diddly dong, bow, wow, wow.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. There's Hancock. The Revolution Continues to me, Jet Lacy. That was one of my favorite bands, Sublime, singing the theme to the old cartoon, Hanna-Barbera cartoon, Hong Kong Phooey. You know, and we're giving the karate chop to the New World Order right now, talking, just airing out what they are up to. We have to expose these this information to everyone that we know. So I want to quickly finish up. We got the callers. We got JG and Joe in California. So I'm going to get to you guys in just 1 second. But I wanted to say, just reiterate that readers who argue that the terms Nazism and Zionism were not known in 1871 should remember that the Illuminati invented both these movements. In addition, communism as an ideology and as a coined phrase originates in France during the Revolution. In 1785, Restif coined the phrase 4 years before the Revolution broke out. Restif and Babeuf, in turn, were influenced by Jean-Jacques Rousseau, as was the most famous co-conspirator of them all, Adam Weishaupt. And Pike goes on to say, the Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the State of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly that the nations, the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Then, everywhere, the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer. Brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. And since terrorist attacks of September 2001, world events, in particular the Middle East, show a growing unrest and instability between modern Zionism and the Arabic world. This is completely in line with the call for a third world war to be fought between the two and their allies on both sides. This third world war is still to come, and recent events show that it is not far off. Like, they're threatening to bomb Iran every day. So, JG in California, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Was this the first time that you came across Albert Pike's words?
No, I just happened to be reading them, you know, just doing some research for this week's show. And, you know, when you're surfing the internet, you kind of, you know, it leads you down different rabbit holes, I guess you would say. So, but I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been into this like about 30, 35 years, and I ran across it. Are you familiar with the authors William Still or Dr. John Coleman?
No.
Okay. They wrote a book, Dr. Coleman wrote a book called Conspirators Hierarchy, The Committee of 300. William Still wrote a book, which is where I would recommend you get this, or somehow, called New World Order, Ancient Plano Secret Societies. And this gentleman here lays it out step by step. All of the secret societies, you know, like the Rosicrucians and the Club of Rome, explains it, how, who, when, where, what, and why. I mean, from the beginning. These are almost like primers that should be in every history class. And then there's three websites I wanted to give you, which Alan Stang was very appreciative that I gave him. And these have all these kind of books, you know, by Creature from Jekyll Island and The Coming Battle, you know, everything about the Federal Reserve type books.
Jeff. Sure.
And can I give you those three websites, which has all these type of authors?
Sure, if you don't mind quickly, brother.
Sites. I've given them out before, but it's been sometime last year. The first one is probably the biggest. It's called Northern Voice, like V-O-I-C-E, bookstore.com.
Okay.
These have hundreds of books, just unbelievable. The next one, so you got Northern Voice, bookstore.com. The next one is Conspiracy King, which used to advertise on your show, both of them did. ConspiracyKing.com.
Okay.
And the other great one is called Hidden, H-I-D-D-E-N, Mysteries, plural, I-E-S, not E-R-Y.
Mm.
These are just fabulous informational sites that give books and DVDs. Not all of them have DVDs, I think. Not sure about Hidden Mysteries. I think they're just books. But this will give you an array of any subject by almost dozens and I don't know how many authors, but they're just great informational sites. I just thought I'd pass that on.
Thank you so much for the information, brother. I always appreciate your calls. I hope you have a great day.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, this is perfect. I'm going to go to Joe in California at the next segment, but this segues perfectly into the Axiom 2010 Truth Tellers Conference. That the link to it is right up on the listing page for today's free show on Freedom's Phoenix. And a lot of these people that talk about these kind of things, Alan Watt, Luke Radowski, Dr. A. True Ott, you know, I was also told that, you know, Tex Mars might be a scheduled speaker. So I hope you guys can make it to Salt Lake City at the end of this month. And we will talk to you on the flip side when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. The revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Declare Your Independence, Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues. Me, Jet Lacy. Man, I was in kind of a cruddy mood this morning, and having Drew here working with me today is tuned me up a bit, and I'm having a really good time now. So I wanted to just talk a little bit again about the Axiom 2010. We're going to be going up there, maybe even broadcasting live from up there. And the list of speakers is absolutely incredible. You got Luke Radowski, who created We Are Change, fellow RBN host Alan Watt, who is really, really good at discussing, you know, how we're being manipulated by the New World Order. We got Sheriff Richard Mack. Via satellite, we got Daniel Estulin, who is the expert on the Bilderberger Group. We have Walter Burian, who is an expert on the CAFRs, which is the second set of books that all of our governments keep. And I tell you what, there's plenty of money in those books. They're just not using it for you. And we got Gary Franchi that has done Camp FEMA, Don't Tread on Me, Restore the Republic. I know he is going to be in town next week, right, Drew? Yeah.
As far as I know.
Yeah, so Gary Franchi is going to be in town here in Phoenix, and I'm sure he'll be either on with me or on with Ernest on sometime this week coming up. A True Ot, a show here on RBN. We've got all kinds of different people coming to this Axiom Festival just outside of Salt Lake City. And if you go to axiomconference.com and you check it out, 3 days for $70. You're not going to do better than that, I tell you. And, you know, speaking about, there's also, I'm working on a couple, helping them out to get a couple speakers lined up. And, you know, one of them, I was told by Clint, the guy that puts on the thing, that Tex Mars was actually going to be in the audience anyway and very well may end up speaking at the engagement. So what a great lineup for an inaugural Axiom 2010 conference. One other thing, give Ernie a little plug here. Freedom Summit, it's already booked. Freedom Summit is going to be December 3 to 5, 3rd to 5th, 2010 at the Sheraton Crescent Resort, where we had it last year. And confirmed speakers thus far are Lawrence Reed and Don Boudreau of the EFF. That's Electronic Frontier Foundation. Jeffrey Singer, Bill Bupper, John Buttrick, Judge Jim Gray. Of course, Charles Goyette, Gary Franchi again, and Ernest and Mark J. Victor, who always puts it on. So additional speakers will be announced. You can find out on freedomsphoenix.com for more information. And so I think hope you guys check that out and get to meet a lot of you if we do get the opportunity to see you at the Freedom Summit coming up. So that would be great. Anyway, I wanted to, we're just going to keep, I guess Joe dropped, so we're just going to keep talking about what we've been talking about today. And I want to start discussing an article that, this actually has made the rounds on various places, so it's really interesting. Again, it's from Global Research, who used to have the show on before us here on RBN, and they are more socialist in nature, yes, but they really understand that this globalization and this one world government is the antithesis of everything that is good. It is everything that is bad for humanity and good for the global elite. And there's less than 6,000 people, 20 families that pull the strings for $7.5 billion. So that's a lot. So, it's a lot of people, a very few number of people pulling the strings. So we have to realize that we have to rise up and take the power back. And only by stopping participating in their system can we, we can break their backs in a second, but we are so brainwashed and just beaten down and we're divided and we just have to break through. And that's why I talk about the love issue all the time, because the only way that we're going to be able to break this conditioning and this division and this hate is by coming back together as human beings, being true to each other, being honest with one another, and telling each other what's really bothering us and on our minds. But in order to help people wake up, sometimes we have to discuss things that are very, very distasteful to talk about. And one of those things is eugenics. And we had the caller earlier that said this is about eugenics, John in Tennessee. This is all about eugenics. This is a scientific dictatorship that we are going into. Like Drew was talking about earlier, where the cameras were supposed to just go click, click to give you a ticket. They're actually continuously filming and creating and running your plate every single time you go buy one. The same thing with the red light cameras. There's cameras going up everywhere. And, they're not for the safety of society. They are to control and track you and to keep you on the reservation. And Andrew Gavin Marshall of Global Research has written, this is actually the third part of an article. And this article alone is 21 pages long that I printed. But he just makes some excellent observations about this scientific dictatorship. So you can go to globalresearch.ca to check this out if you want to read it in total. But he starts by saying, currently our world is at the greatest crossroads our species has ever experienced. We are in the midst of the first truly global political awakening, in which for the first time in all human history, all of mankind is politically awakened and stirring. And if you, I know I played it on this show, but Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's pretty much the talking mouthpiece of the New World Order, said in a conference in Montreal of the CFR that this is a very, very dangerous time for them. We have them on the run. We have them afraid. That is what they do not want, is for us to wake up. And we are waking up. And that's why I'm saying, regardless of the fact that my wife doesn't respect what I'm doing, I love her to death. But the thing is whether she was, this is how serious I am about this, okay? I love my wife more than I love anything in this world. But if she made me choose about loving her and waking people up to the New World Order, I would stick doing what I'm doing. Because I believe that much that I am right in what I'm doing. And I can't imagine living my life without my wife. I can't imagine. It makes me want to cry right now. But I will not quit. I will not be silenced, because this is something that is going to affect not only us, but future generations to come. I mean, just you want the playbook? Read 1984 and Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. That's what it is. And we're going to talk a little bit about, in this article, he refers to Brave New World. But continuing with the article, he said, all of mankind is politically awakened and stirring, in which, whether inadvertently or intentionally, people are thinking and acting in political terms. This awakening is most evident in the developing world, and having been made through personal experience to be acutely aware of great disparities, disrespect, and domination inherent in global power structures. The awakening is spreading increasingly to the West itself, as the majority of the people living in Western developed worlds are thrown into poverty and degradation. The awakening will be forced upon all people over the world. Nothing, no development ever in human history has posed such a monumental threat to the elite power structures. This awakening is largely driven by the technological revolution, in which through technology and electronics, in particular mass media and the internet, have made it so that people across the world are able to become aware of global issues and gain access to information from around the world. You know, and as an aside, this is exactly why you have Joe Lieberman and Jay Rockefeller, the brother of the most evil man in the world, David Rockefeller, saying that they wish that we had never created the internet. They had created the internet as a unit of control over the information that we receive and that we can transmit. However, it has turned against them. This has been, the internet has been the most powerful tool to fight the New World Order that's ever created. So even these people make mistakes, even though they take years and years and years of various types of, you know, the psychology of it, the science of the human mind. They're using it against us, but even they make mistakes. They are still human beings. So if we rise up, they know that they are building a house of cards. But this house of cards has us believing, because it's towered so high, that it's an insurmountable task. And it's not. This is a very easy task. It just takes a lot of us to stand up. And we just need to do that. And they will stop. They will, I mean, hey, in the French Revolution alone, they hung 300,000 members of the Illuminati, you know, by the end of a rope, or chopped their head off with a guillotine. You know, so you got to understand, this isn't the first time in history that people have won, nor is it the first time that people have been fighting the Illuminati. So we have to understand that we have to realize that we're much more powerful than we think we are. We just need to ignore all of the stimulus, the unending stimulus that we receive from the mainstream media, from the foods that we eat that are poisoning us and making us dull and tired. We need to just stop. We need to grow. That's why the only, if you really want to survive this, you need to become self-sufficient. And that's my only point. But going on with this article, and he starts talking about, so what is a scientific dictatorship? In 1932, Aldous Huxley wrote the dystopian novel Brave New World, in which he looked at the emergence of the scientific dictatorships of the future. In his 1958 essay, Brave New World Revisited, Huxley examined how the world had come in that short period since his book was published and where the world was heading. He wrote that, in politics, the equivalent of a fully developed scientific theory or philosophical system is a totalitarian dictatorship. In economics, the equivalent of a beautifully composed work of art is the smoothly running factory in which the workers are perfectly adjusted to the machines. The will to order can make tyrants out of those who merely aspire to clear up a mess. The beauty of tidiness is used as a justification for despotism. Huxley explained that the future dictator subjects will be painlessly regimented by a corps of highly trained social engineers. And he quotes one advocate of this new science as saying that the challenge of global engineering in our time is like the challenge of technical engineering 50 years ago. In the first half of the 20th century, there was an era of technical engineers. In the second half, I may well be the era of social engineers. Thus, proclaims Huxley, the 21st century, I suppose, will be the era of world controllers, the scientific caste system, and a brave new world. In 1952, Bertrand Russell, a British philosopher, historian, blah, 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 evil guy, wrote the book The Impacts of Science on Society, in which he warned and examined how science and the technological revolution was changing and would come to change society. He said, I think the subject which will be of most important politically is mass psychology. Mass psychology is, scientifically speaking, not a very advanced study. This study is immensely useful to practical men, whether they wish to become rich or to acquire the government. It is, of course, as a science founded upon individual psychology, but hitherto it has employed rule-of-thumb methods which were based on the kind of intuitive common sense. Its importance has been enormously increased by the growth of modern methods of propaganda. Of these, the most influential is what is called, quote, education. Religion plays a part, although a diminishing one. The press, the cinema, and the radio play an increasing part. And we're talking about, this is in the 52 he wrote this. So he goes, what is essential in mass psychology is the art of persuasion. What went wrong? If you compare a speech of Hitler's with a speech of, say, Edmund Burke, you will see what strides have been made in the art since the 18th century. What went wrong formerly was that people had read in books that man is the rational animal and framed their arguments on this hypothesis. We now know that limelight and a brass band do more to persuade than can be done by the most elegant train of syllogisms. It may be hoped that in time anybody will be able to persuade anybody of anything if he can catch the patient young and is provided by the state with money and equipment. Hello, this is what's going on right now, and it's in full swing right now. And he says, Bertrand Russell goes on to say, this subject will make great strides when it is taken up by scientists under a scientific dictatorship, which is what we have now. I talk about this all the time on the show, that we are in a scientific dictatorship. Russell went on to analyze the question of whether a scientific dictatorship is more stable than a democracy, on which he postulated, apart from the danger of war, I see no reason why a regime should be unstable. After all, most civilized and semi-civilized countries known to history have had a large class of slaves or serfs completely subordinate to their owners. And there is nothing in human nature that makes the persistence of such a system impossible. And the whole development of scientific technique has made it easier than it used to be to maintain a despotic rule of a minority. Hello? That's going on right now. And you know, they've had 50-plus years, well, 60 years since he wrote this, to get this in full swing. He said, I do not see how any internal movement or revolt can ever bring freedom to the oppressed in a modern scientific dictatorship. Well, he wasn't right on everything. He's going to be wrong on that. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, we'll wrap this up in a neat package when we come back If anyone has the last word they'd like to say, 800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I'm the lyrical gangster. Dial emergency number.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. There's Hancock, and the revolution continues. Me, Jet Lacy. I tell you what, everybody here in Phoenix, Arizona is a hot stepper. I checked the weather during the break at 10:30 a.m. It was 107.8 degrees out. It's hot. It's so hot. But, you know, nothing's for free. And that just goes to show you that although we have beautiful winters and everybody's freezing their knobs off, it isn't all fun and games around here in Phoenix, Arizona. So getting back to what we were talking about, and you can get his article on, I think it's at the very top of the page on globalresearch.ca. It's called, New Eugenics and the Rise of the Global Scientific Dictatorship, the Technological Revolution and the Future of Freedom. I find these scholarly pieces that these guys write to be right on time, and again, that's what I like about these articles is that, like when I had Cassandra Anderson on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I played the repeat last week when I was sick, that she cited her article. And that's why I find to be very, very important when someone cites their sources, because I don't want to believe what anybody says anymore. I want to find these things out for myself, and I urge you to do the same thing. I do my research. I just print out some articles. I went and bought a very cheap laser printer for like $50, and I refilled the toners from eBay, for like $20-$30. You get like 1,500 sheets, and so I can print out a grip of articles to just read off of, because I really don't like reading off the screen. So I urge you to do the same. Just spend a little bit of money. Go cruising some of these websites and the freedom, and you will learn. You can go and like to a website called Scribd, scribd.com. You can get a lot of documents. You can get a lot of Council on Foreign Relations documents. You can get, Zbigniew Brzezinski's books, Between Two Ages, talking about the technologic dictatorship that we are currently experiencing. You can find books. You can find the Club of Rome documents. You can find all kinds of Bilderberg documents. And that's how I go about finding my research, because I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, because they're using their own words. And, it's hard to disbelieve something when you actually see it written down. Like when you look at John Holdren, who is Obama's science czar, saying that we need to, force sterilizations and total eugenics job and rationing care and, everything that's going on. You got to read the news, because they really do try to tell you what they're doing. But you don't have to read or believe these in-depth articles, these propaganda pieces in the mainstream media. But I certainly do peruse, like, say, the Drudge Report, that has a whole bunch of websites, news all in one, and you will find that there's certain keywords over and over and over that you will understand that they're trying to bring about these things. And it's always keywords. You can tell that they're trying to bring about global warming problem again. You know what I mean? They're saying, oh, this was the hottest year ever. And, they're just trying to lie to us. And lie and lie and lie, and they don't care. Even though the science has been disproven. So I'd like to thank Manny on the board at RBN and Drew Phillips here on the board at the Freedoms Phoenix Studios. And I would say lovely downtown Freedoms Phoenix, but dang, it's hot out there. I'm sweating my knobs off already. You got the fan and the air conditioner going on here in the studio. But I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon. I don't know what else to say. I tell you what, this is a difficult, difficult time to be alive, but it's so exciting at the same time. It's so exciting to be able to be alive when you can make a difference on the outcome of society. We'll see you soon.